Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome. Amanda Grace here. We are live. Today is May 15th, 2025. Welcome to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you with us tonight. I see people coming in from Massachusetts, from Portugal. Hello to our friends in Portugal who are watching, California, Washington, England and the UK. Hello to our friends across the pond and our international audience coming in as well. Dallas, Fort Worth, I see. North Carolina. Hold on one second. South, greetings from ABBA. Hold on. I think it was Nigeria. Yes, Southeast Nigeria. Hello to our friends watching in Nigeria as well. That's amazing. We see Maryland as well, Florida, Georgia, Oklahoma, New Hampshire, Kentucky, Ontario, Canada. We love our neighbors in Canada. We're praying for you. New Mexico as well. Arkansas. We just got back from Arkansas, actually. We've been there numerous times now. We love Arkansas. Ohio as well. Multiple Texas, New Jersey. We're coming to New Jersey next week. We're going to be there the 20th and the 21st. Ontario, Canada, as well as Australia. Hello to our friends across the world in Australia. Hello to those in Hawaii. I see people coming in from there. And to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team, thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. Now, we're going to open up in prayer. And we're going to get in to some heavy stuff spiritually tonight. So if you have maybe young kids who are watching, I'll let you determine as their parents whether they should be involved in this or not. You are their parents. You know best. But we are going to be getting into the hierarchy of the kingdom of darkness, the cult of mind control, how it is coming out so publicly in this time, why this is happening. These are things the church needs to understand, because if we're at war every day, we should understand the enemy we are facing in the light of the word of God. And so we are getting into a very complex topic tonight that I'm sure we're probably going to talk in probably more than one broadcast about this. But with what is happening, we'll open up a prayer first with the P. Diddy trial that is coming out publicly and openly in a court of law. People have a lot of questions right now. This also ties to President Trump and the assassination attempt on his life. So this is a very complex web that has been woven here, and we are going to get into the depths of it, having to do with the hierarchy of the kingdom of darkness, the cult of mind control, the weaponization how the enemy weaponized what he learned in heaven, and he took it and he manipulated, he twisted and he weaponized it against humanity. This is all coming out in the mainstream now. So we're going to open up in prayer. And we are going to get into this tonight. If you can, please share this. This is going to be a fascinating topic biblically and prophetically to cover, because it's going on in other parts of the earth too. And we're going to get into that as well. Why in this hour do you see this all right now coming into a head? And it's coming to a head in the window between Passover and Pentecost, right? The deliverance of God's people, the judgment of their enemies, and then Pentecost, the fire coming down, right? The Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. So very interesting. You've got deliverance and fire, basically, is the window that we're in. So let's open up in prayer. Give this over to the Lord, because this is a topic we need his wisdom, his guidance on, his spirit leading us on. And then we'll get into tonight. So Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you this day, Father. Lord, we praise you. You are almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. We humble ourselves before you this day, Father, saying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, forgive us of every way we have sinned and fallen short. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Your word says the righteous man sins seven times a day, Lord. We praise you. Your mercy is new every single day, Father God. We humble ourselves coming before your throne. We are entering your courts with praise. We are entering your gates with thanksgiving in our heart, Father God. We are humbling ourselves before you, honoring and acknowledging you sent your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth. He was the Word, became flesh. He dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He willingly came to the earth to die. He willingly walked among man. He willingly was beaten for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And that blood at Calvary dripped onto the mercy seat. A transaction was completed at the highest level. We were purchased with the priceless blood of Jesus Christ. We were redeemed. We were reconciled back to our Father in heaven. And Father, we praise you that he made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation. When he said, "It is finished," and he died, Father, he descended into the underworld. He took the keys from death itself. He defeated hell, death, in the grave. He rose again miraculously. He ascended back into heaven. He took his rightful place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name above all names, our advocate without ceasing before your throne, Father. And we honor that sacrifice before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, into this place. Father, let your power and your glory, Father God, saturate the atmosphere. Let your power mightily move. Let your glory, Father God, go forth, Lord. Father, be our front and rear guard. Order our steps tonight, Father God. Lord, order my words, Father. As we go forth tonight, Father God, you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Rapha, our healer, Jehovah Gibor, you are Jehovah Shalom, you are Jehovah Sidkenu, our banner, Father God, and Lord, we just praise you. We give you all the glory, Father God, Lord. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Father, fill us, Lord, fill me with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Father God, cause us, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, to respond, Father God, to those spirits, Lord, your spirit, Father God, the spirits of wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow me, Lord, and our team the humble privilege of being vessels of your power. We praise you, Lord, for the privilege of your word, Father God, of learning, of understanding, of hearkening unto your voice, Father God, of the Holy Spirit counseling us, Father God. We praise you for that tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke right now every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, hindrance, interference, violence, slander, intimidation, bullying, curse, harm, witchcraft of any kind. In the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke it now and command it dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, dismantled, canceled, rendered powerless, excised by the sword of the Lord. Every arrow of the enemy is destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ. Every weapon the enemy attempts to use malfunction, and let it be cast back, Father God, to the areas you have designated, Father, to not return or have anything sent in its place, Father. Lord, we ask you send your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions right now, Father God, to fill this property, the skies, the land above and beneath, to fill this office, Father God, to keep and protect us, Father God, as we go forth tonight, Lord. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter, we're most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. We are the dust of the earth without your spirit and your breath breathed into us, Father God. Every breath we take is because of you. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, Father. Take all the glory for yourself, Lord. We praise you tonight, Lord. We love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Welcome to those who were jumping on during prayer. We're about to get into a very serious topic right now of what we see happening publicly that people, some of them are a little confused by. You've got jurors gasping literally in the courtroom at what is coming out in the P. Diddy trial. But you see, that's on the surface. We have to talk about the spiritual component, which is the hierarchy of the kingdom of darkness, the cult of mind control, the bondage of the enemy, how the kingdom of darkness operates, and what we as believers, the authority we have through Christ Jesus over it. And so we're going to get into all of that tonight. This is a very heavy topic. We are in a very active war with very real consequences. And so it is good for us. We should, as soldiers in the armies of the living God, understand what we're fighting against. We should understand what we're dealing with, because it's a very dangerous situation to have powerful and active enemies working against us and not even be aware of their motives, capabilities, assignments, or presence. It's about time the church stopped practicing spiritual atheism and understanding that the word of God is not just words on a page. Satan knows every word in this book. He knows every word in the word of God. The difference is he does not have the authority, nor does he have the know-how to properly utilize it the way God intends to utilize it, because he always manipulates. Satan cannot create. He can only take and manipulate. There's only one creator, and his name is Almighty God, Elohim, El Shaddai. And so we need to understand this, because one of the enemy's greatest tools is to make people believe there is not a real spiritual realm, that he really doesn't exist, that God, in a way, has abandoned his people on earth. You cannot tell me that people in the kingdom of darkness can talk to demons, but God's children cannot talk to him and cannot hear from him. That would be completely backwards and out of order of how God created things in the garden when everything began. And so we're going to get into this tonight. If you can share this broadcast, because this is going to be some deep stuff. This is stuff I believe the church in this season has to learn, has to know, has to understand properly the rules of engagement, has to understand what they're dealing with. Otherwise, if they don't, you are going to have a David and Goliath situation, but instead, Goliath's going to know more than David. We cannot have that. David understood covenant. Goliath didn't. That is why Goliath was judged and he fell, because David understood the rules of engagement in that moment and what was spiritually violated and the authority David had over his enemy through the covenant Israel had with God. And so we're going to get into this tonight, and we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 6. So like I said, this all has to do with the hierarchy of the kingdom of darkness, the cult of mind control, what the enemy uses to fracture, fragment the minds and souls of people, how he uses this to control. We're getting into all of this because this is all coming out now publicly. And so we need to do a deeper dive into this and talk about this. So Ephesians 6, 11 through 13, we're going to go there first. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and deceits. Schemes, strategies, deceits. You have three categories of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, put on the complete armor of God that you will be able to stand successfully, and having done everything, to stand firm. So that's Ephesians 6, 11 through 13. We know this well, but we have to understand this phrase of our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We are not battling against persons with bodies. we are ultimately battling against disembodied, unclean spirits who utilize persons with bodies to do their bidding. So the source of the power, the source of the issue is not necessarily a person with a body. We are fighting against disembodied, unclean spirits that are part of the hierarchy of the kingdom of darkness. And yes, it is a hierarchy, and we're going to get into that. So basically, we have man-made senses, and then we have spiritual senses. Your senses, man-made, will deceive you. They will. Your man-made senses can deceive you. This is why Paul says in Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit, and then you will certainly not carry out the desires of the sinful nature. Because our flesh, our sinful nature, our physical senses have the ability to deceive us. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things of this world cannot endure. However, the things of the Spirit are what endure. That's what that means, 2 Corinthians 4:18. Now, we're going to get into a bit more scripture because I have to make the basis of this for where we're going. I have to give you a scriptural basis because we're going to get into some very, very deep things here. Ephesians 1, 17 through 20. And I say this every day, this scripture, by the way. I always pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the true knowledge of him, and that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, or the eyes of your understanding, so that you will know and cherish the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his active spiritual power in us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength, which he produced in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Matthew 12, 26 through 28. If Satan casts out Satan, he has become divided against himself and disunited. How then will his kingdom stand? If I cast out the demons by the help of Beelzebub, which is Satan, by whom do your sons drive them out? For this reason, they will be your judges. They will be your judges. How is this all taking place in? A court of law. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out the demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Because they were accusing Jesus Christ himself of casting out demons by Satan. When you attribute a work of the Holy Spirit to Satan, it is a very, very grave, serious sin. This is why you have to be careful of that, because you don't want to attribute a work of the Holy Spirit to Satan. And that's exactly what the Pharisees were doing, because they didn't understand his kingdom. They had no clue about the kingdom of darkness, the active spiritual realm, and they had no clue about really the hierarchy of the kingdom of God, because if they did, they would have recognized Christ as the Messiah. Satan is not going to work against himself and drive himself out of an area he has influence over. No, no, no. Those areas he has influence over are way too precious to him for him to drive his own demonic hierarchy out. Now, the kingdom of darkness is a well-organized kingdom. We have to understand that. It is an organized kingdom. Satan has a sophisticated kingdom he has built. And he attempted to build it upon the blueprint that was in God's heavenly kingdom that Lucifer had access to before he rebelled and fell. Because when Lucifer fell and became Satan, he took all the knowledge he acquired in heaven, the hierarchies he saw, the influence of music, the knowledge of the inner workings of man, the hierarchy of God's kingdom, and attempted to build with all of that information he had. He attempted to build up a shadow kingdom of such, and he built a kingdom with ranks and divisions to have influence and power within different areas of society for means of keeping the power the kingdom of darkness has while attempting to advance against territories and the sons and daughters of God. So he built a sophisticated shadow kingdom off of everything he viewed in heaven. And when he fell, he attempted to recreate and counterfeit what God had already created. You see, how Satan built his kingdom wasn't an idea of his own making. He stole it from what he saw in the kingdom of heaven, because when Lucifer was in heaven, he was one of the most beautiful angels God had ever created. He had organ pipes built into his throat to sing the praises of God all day long. He brought people in and out of the presence, or he brought angels in and out of the presence of the glory of God. We're even going to see something very interesting in Ezekiel about this that we're going to get into briefly. But he took all of that he witnessed, and when he fell, he used that as a blueprint to build the antithesis of what is the kingdom of God, but built it in a similar structure as the kingdom of God. So I'll quickly say this. Within ranks and divisions, you have the powers of the air, because he's called the prince of the power of the air. You have the marine kingdom within the kingdom of darkness. That is where we see the Philistines worshiping Dagon, who is half man, half fish. You have divisions over technology. You have divisions that basically want to create dark products that are then pushed into the earthly realm through willing hosts to advance the agenda of the kingdom of darkness and deceive people on the earth. You have divisions having to do with sorcery, dark arts, witchcraft. It's a hierarchy. It's got ranks and divisions. It has principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You have the first heaven, which is our atmosphere. You have the second heaven, where spiritual activity of demons and angels go on and wars are engaged in. And then you have the third heaven, where the throne of God is, okay? So you have this hierarchy going on. You have this very sophisticated war being fought in the realm of the spirit. Man is at the center of it, in a way. Man and their souls is at the center of this war. And this war has been fought from basically between Genesis 1:1, I believe, and Genesis 1:2 is when it's believed theologically that Satan fell, that Lucifer fell. So between those two verses is when that is sort of believed to have happened. Now, Ezekiel 28 is going to give us an even better picture of this war with man and how he fell. Because in Ezekiel 28, it says, again, the word of the Lord came to me, and it starts with verse 11, saying, son of man, take up a dirge, which is a funeral poem, for the king of Tyre. You had the prince of Tyre, that was a man. The king of Tyre was Satan. So take up this funeral poem for the king of Tyre, who's Satan, and say to him, thus says the Lord God. So this is a prophecy. You had the full measure of perfection and the finishing touch, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden. Now listen to what the Lord is saying here. He's talking to the king of Tyre, who is Satan. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold. The workmanship of your settings and your sockets. The workmanship of your settings and your sockets was in you. They were prepared on the day that you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers and protects. You, what was his job? You were the anointed cherub who covers and protects. That was his original job. To cover and protect who? Well, we're going to find out. And I placed you there in the garden. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness and evil were found in you. Through the abundance of your commerce, you were internally filled with lawlessness and violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you out as a profane and unholy thing from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was proud and arrogant because of your beauty. You destroyed your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I lay you before kings that they might look at you. You profaned your sanctuaries by the great quantity of your sins and the enormity of your guilt by the unrighteousness of your trade. Therefore, I have brought forth a fire from your midst. It has consumed you, and I have reduced you to ashes on the earth in the sight of all who looks at you. This is his end. All the peoples, nations who knew you are appalled at you. You have come to a horrible and terrifying end and will forever cease to be. So at the end is basically the prophecy saying what is going to happen to him. Now, why is the Lord saying this? First of all, the reason why his penalty was so severe is because he came in the glory of God day in and day out, and he still rebelled. You see, man has access to God through Christ Jesus. And man, because we were created in God's own image, right? We are given mercy through Christ Jesus, who died for our sins. So basically, we are, let me put it this way, we're sneaking in under Jesus's garments to heaven in order to be accepted. What do I mean by that? If you go back to the account of Jacob and Esau, Jacob on his own was a deceiver. He was not an heir. Esau was the heir. He was not on his own. He did not have the qualifications to receive the blessing from Isaac. So what does Jacob do? He makes himself look like the heir. He puts on goat skin under the leading of his mom. He makes himself hairy like Esau because Isaac's eyes were dim at that point. And he comes in wearing somebody else's garments. He comes in looking like the heir, feeling like the heir, in order to get the blessing of the heir. We are doing the same thing with Jesus Christ. We are literally sneaking in under his garments and under his blood, because on our own, we're not an heir, we're not acceptable, and we're deceivers. So literally, that is what we're doing when we are coming before God. So that's why you see from the beginning, this whole account of Jacob and Esau, and we see other accounts like this too, because it was foreshadowing how man would come in covered under Christ, because that's the only way we can be accepted as an heir, if that makes sense. So I wanted to explain that to you, first of all. Okay, so now let's go back to this. You are the anointed cherub who covers and protects. This is what the Lord is saying to Lucifer. He says, you were in Eden. God placed the cherub who was supposed to cover and protect in Eden. Why did he place him there? Because he was supposed to cover and protect man. Originally, based on these scriptures, that is what he was supposed to do. Lucifer was in the Garden of Eden, and I believe what that scripture is leading us to believe is he was initially placed there by God to assist man and cover and protect man in walking with the presence of God to care for and oversee this process. But instead, because of pride and jealousy and rebellion, entered him, he sadistically in the garden studied Adam and Eve in the garden, studied their mannerisms, listened to their conversations, roamed about like a lion until he targeted the weaker vessel, which was Eve, and knew exactly what to say to cause doubt to enter the mind and heart, and what the Lord had clearly told both Adam and Eve about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Lucifer knew, because he was placed there and he was supposed to cover and protect them by studying them, that the only way to get them to fall would be to get them to do the one thing God told them not to do. This is why the serpent was ready when he came to Eve. This is why he had all his arguments in place. This is why everything was in order, because he had been placed in that garden to be the covering cherub, to cover Adam and Eve, to guard that garden. And instead, he sadistically studied man, and he realized he had to get them to partake of the one thing God told them not to do, to put enmity between them and God. This is why the ministry of deliverance and the understanding of the enemy we face is so crucial for the church to operate in this time, because their arguments are sophisticated. And they're lofty. And we're supposed to be taking them down from those lofty positions with the authority we have through Christ Jesus. Because basically, when we are able to understand this, it brings out into the open what Satan would rather keep secret. The kingdom of darkness is about secrets. It's about darkness. Darkness covers. Darkness hides. Darkness keeps secrets. Darkness deceives. That is what the kingdom of darkness is about. And so what we do when we operate in that authority through Christ Jesus, and we know our authority, and we understand the enemy we face, it begins to bring out in the open what Satan would rather keep secret. And that is how he gets exposed. Demons get rebuked. Strongholds get taken down. High places get dismantled. This is how. So we see this with this P. Diddy trial going on. The dark, secretive cover of the Luciferian order, of the occult, in a court of law is literally being ripped off and exposing the inner working of satanic occults, what they do, how they control, how they keep men in bondage, how they operate in mind control, weapons that they use. It's being ripped off in a court, because a court and a judge is a representation on earth of God's court and judgment seat. This is why you see this strategically and prophetically all playing out in a court of law, and the cover literally being ripped off of it and bringing out into the open what Satan would rather keep a secret. So now we're going to get into the deeper things. Now that we've created this scriptural basis for this, we're going to get into the deeper things right now. So when Satan and Luciferian orders, because what they're talking about in this trial is deep stuff. It is heavy stuff. It is dark stuff. It is making jurors gasp. It is making them unsettled, because you have to be in the right mindset and heart posture to understand and deal with these things and understand the root of it and the cause. So when Satan and Luciferian orders and the occult fragment people's minds and souls, they become very unstable, because what was born whole is now purposely fragmented in order to get different personalities to be used for different things. Think of a whole vase that falls on the floor and breaks into all these pieces. If you were to attempt to pour water in such, it would spill out everywhere, because there's no whole vessel to contain it. So they have to keep these different personalities in order. And the way they do this is through trauma and programming to subdue and to bring out different personalities at different times, but also by fear and punishment, because the occult, the kingdom of darkness, is built on fear and competition and punishment. So they do this also by fear and punishment, that they have total control over that person and are deceived into believing that that person, that fragmented person in their mind and soul now, is, because they're not whole anymore, is easily deceived into believing you sold your soul, you made a covenant with death, you did these horrible things that we now have witnesses, you made a covenant with darkness, there is no way out, you belong to the underworld. This is how they enslave them. They start from the time that they're children. One of the enemies go-to methods in order to get somebody to the point where their soul and mind is fragmented, that they can be used for depths of darkness that we didn't even know humans were capable of. He starts when they're children, and he starts to cause deep, deep levels of trauma when they're children, because trauma tills the soil. The enemy can't do anything without a trauma first tilling the soil of the soul and the mind. So he begins an assault on an innocent child with deep levels of trauma in order to begin to separate them from innocence, from goodness, from the love of God, from right thinking. He begins to make them think that darkness is normal. He actually begins to make them nocturnal. You see, God has a sacred order of time. Darkness is supposed to submit and give way to the light. In Genesis, it says there was evening and then morning one day, because the darkness has to submit and give way to the light. What the enemy tries to do is reverse that when he does this to people, and he actually tries to cause them to live as a nocturnal being, to live operating in a level of darkness and oppression that many have never felt. And this is what he does. And he makes them believe from the time they're children that not only is this normal, but he traumatizes them to deep, deep levels. And then he comes like the snake that he is, and he goes, I have a power to offer you that's going to give you power to get yourself out of this deep pain you're in. So he's purposely traumatizing them to break them down so much that they are so desperate to get out of the pain that he can easily be the hero then and offer them the power. It is sculpted heroism is what it is. It is constructed within the confines of being somebody's tormentor and hero at the same time. So this is what he does. And he makes them believe there's no way out. They've sold their soul. As they get older and they get deeper and deeper and deeper into these things, that they have made a contract with death. That contract is irrevocable. That is a lie from the deepest pits of hell, because there is a way out. And his name is Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He shed his blood on Calvary. He shed his blood on the cross. He was the Passover lamb. And that blood is so far beyond any power or authority that Satan's kingdom has that it can nullify any covenant man would make with the kingdom of darkness, any covenant man makes with death, any way they sell their soul. It overrules, overrides, and renders its terms null and void. There is a way out. If you are in the occult, if you are in the middle of this, there is a way out, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he has been given power and authority from on high, and there is no principality, power, ruler of darkness, or Satan himself that comes anywhere close to the power and authority that Christ Jesus has. Satan sculpts that lie, and he does it by fragmenting the soul and fragmenting the mind, so they cannot wholly understand love. They cannot wholly, because love becomes abuse for them. That's the way Satan does it. Love is abuse. It's very twisted and it's very sick, and they can't wholly understand the selfless love of God that covers a multitude of sins. And this is how he entraps them. This is how P. Diddy was entrapped. This is how he was fragmented over time, from the time he was young, selling his soul in the music industry through groomers and handlers that ran record labels that put him in such bondage that his conscience became totally seared, and he operated in levels of darkness that if his soul were whole and his conscience would clear, he would never be able to stomach. Now, the other thing is that Satan also controls through sex. This is the other part of the hierarchy of the kingdom of darkness, the Luciferian orders, the whole thing. He does. Now, why does he do that? Ephesians 5:31 says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Now, why would this be written in Ephesians 5, in the chapter before the hierarchy of Satan's kingdom is revealed in Ephesians 6? Why would this be written the chapter before? First of all, Ephesus was a hub for witchcraft and cult prostitution. Ephesus was a hub for it. It was immersed in witchcraft. It was immersed in dark arts. It was immersed in cult prostitution. The other reason it's written right before is because sex creates soul ties. And a soul tie is an open avenue. It's a connection between those in the realm of the spirit, which leads into the natural, that Satan has a legal open door to now attack you through the person you chose to intertwine your soul with, especially outside the covenant of marriage. He understands this well, that sex creates an open legal avenue in the realm of the spirit, that Satan now gains legal rights to attack that person because they have gotten themselves involved with somebody that Satan already has some type of dominance over. This is why promiscuity is so highly promoted within the music industry, Hollywood, television, because the kingdom of darkness needs these spiritual access points to your soul that they gain legal rights to. With sex, they use it to control, they use it to influence, they use it to torment, they use it to attack, which then puts that person in bondage, which then not only controls them, but gives the enemy a behind the scenes open legal avenue to that person. This is why you see these people. They've got empty eyes because their souls have been fragmented, their minds have been fragmented, and they have so many open legal avenues the enemy has created through sex that it overpowers and overtakes them in a way. These soul ties have to be repented of, broken, and nullified in the name of Jesus Christ to legally nullify and close those access points. They have to be completely repented of. Repenting is not only turning from the act, it's changing your mindset. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Part of that is repentance. Repentance isn't just the turning from the act, it's the changing of the mindset as well, right? It's a changing of the mindset to pursue the things of God, right? And to completely turn away and hate the things of the enemy, the things of the kingdom of darkness. And so these soul ties have to be repented of, broken, and nullified to legally nullify and close those access points in the name of Jesus Christ. That has to be done. And I'm going to tell you that sex and blood are highly and ferociously sought after with satanic orders to gain power and control and to totally separate man in their conscience, their soul, their spirit, their mind from the light and forgiveness of God. It is sought after too because it means power for the kingdom of darkness. Those two categories mean power at high, high levels for the kingdom of darkness. That's why in Nineveh, when Jonah went and spoke 8 words and said, God is going to destroy this city, right? And what was it? In 7 days, this city will be destroyed. Nineveh was the hub of the temple of Ishtar. What went on in the temple of Ishtar is cult prostitution. Men dressed up as women in ceremonies, considered themselves non-binary and acted transgender. And we think this is new. No, this comes from a very ancient division of the kingdom of darkness. And it was a hub there. And they had those cult prostitutes because it created legal openings and avenues in the realm of the spirit for the hierarchy of the kingdom of darkness to operate heavily in that area. Because Satan takes what God creates to be pure and in order and to create a spiritual order that is pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. And he realizes there is power, control, and access there to man to be utilized for his bidding if he perverts it and gets them to rebel against that order. So he perverts what Almighty God created to be pure and utilizes the pull and lust of the flesh to then gain deeper levels of access to someone's mind, their soul, their life, their spirit, where their conscience is seared and they become the physical killers and destroyers for principalities and powers of Satan's kingdom. So he's got to take what God made pure and in order. He's got to cause man to rebel against it, pervert it, and totally separate themselves from the proper order of it to be in violation against God in order to open up these dark legal access points, if that's what makes sense. And trauma, like I said before, is the root of bondage, programming, and control. The enemy will bring an onslaught of trauma into a child's life. I will tell you this, the enemy can see from children people are anointed by God. He may not know everything God is going to do with that anointing, but he doesn't care. He wants to hijack it and use it for his kingdom before they can come into the fullness of what God has spoken that they should be in accordance with his will on this earth. So trauma starts early in order to break down the barriers that we have in us for Satan to gain legal access. And then it becomes the root of bondage, programming, and control. The kingdom of darkness needs trauma to occur to till the soil, basically to till the soul, to till the soil of our soul, to till our mind, to fragment it, to oppress, to control, and to influence. And the kingdom of darkness thrives on trauma. Greater levels of trauma to them means they gain greater levels of control and bondage over human hosts. The deeper, the more horrific the trauma, the greater entry they gain. This is the crux of the P. Diddy trial and what is coming out. This is also the crux how the kingdom of darkness gets human hosts to, out of their own mouths, because the spirit is speaking, to want to destroy those anointed of God. And I'm going to play for you an ex post that came out, and this has resurfaced. This is P. Diddy talking about President Trump in 2020. And I want to play this for you so you'll see what we're talking about.
White men like Trump need to be banished. That way of thinking, it's real dangerous. Mm-hmm. When you look at it, we don't have no choice. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You can say what you want about Biden. I can't say I love the pick either. But hey, we got to get him in office. Mm-hmm. And then we got to hold him accountable.
Okay. Now, that was in 2020. White men like Trump need to be banished. And I had put this post out today. The hierarchy of the kingdom of darkness is a very sophisticated interconnecting web that stretches across realms, industries, and the government. The kingdom of darkness needs blood for power. The shedding of blood of leaders is highly sought after for new levels of power. And I shared that video. Now, I'm going to tell you something about this video. That was the spirit talking through him. That wasn't P. Diddy the man talking. That was the spirit that controls him talking through him. Because look at what's being said. White men like Trump need to be banished. Why is that spirit talking through P. Diddy? First of all, he's opened up plenty of doors for that to happen, spiritually speaking, in his life. But secondly, the threat President Trump was to the kingdom of darkness was immense. Because he was anointed, He was anointed by God to lead, and he represented a threat to their strongholds and interests within the nation and the world. And the spirits got so insatiably desperate, starting in 2020, the kingdom of darkness did, and the orders that served them, to take him down, that you can see it in his eyes, you can see it in his face. That is the spirit talking and ordering the destruction of Donald Trump. And I'm telling you, that's what you're looking at. That's the spirit talking and ordering the destruction of President Trump. This has just resurfaced again in the middle of this trial. And we all saw what happened July 13th, 2024, when in Butler, Pennsylvania, they attempted to do what they did and destroy him. And by the hand of God, he was protected and spared. You know why? Matthew 4:4. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm going to explain to you what that means for a minute. I put a short out about this today. When Jesus is in the wilderness and he has been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and he's the weakest he's ever been in the flesh, Satan appears to him at his weakest. This is the same reason Satan appears to children and comes after them. He appears to people that have, you know, hit rock bottom and tries to come after them, because predators prey on weakness. And he appears to him in the wilderness and he begins to try to tempt them. And he tries to tempt him using the word of God, even using the word of God. Psalm 91, he even quoted during that exchange. And he says, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus, in his spirit was incredibly strong, but his flesh at that moment was weak and it was tired. And Jesus Christ looks right into the eyes of Satan and says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What he was doing was putting Satan on notice that I'm coming for you, and I'm going to come, and I'm going to take the keys of death from you, and I'm going to defeat hell, death, and the grave. And when I do, as long as we speak, man should live, they will live. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus has the keys he literally took from death. And as long as the mouth of God is speaking that someone should live, there is no power, principality, ruler of darkness, or human that serves them that can do anything about it to reverse it, as long as that person is under the covering of Almighty God. And since God looks ahead, if he knows that person is going to come under that covering, many times he will protect them and protect their life and speak that they shall live before they even come into that relationship with him, because he can see ahead and he knows they are going to. And so he was putting Satan on notice in that exchange. I'm coming for you, and I'm going to take the keys of death from you, and I'm going to defeat hell, death, and the grave, and you're not going to say who should live and who shouldn't, because man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is what was going on. That is what was going on. And so we have to understand that you're dealing with an apex predator that is ruthless, that has no conscience, that hates humanity. And we'll get into why, because there is a very significant reason why. But I'm going to put up this other New York Post article. This one brought gasps out of the courtroom. This was one of them. So this incident happened in 2018, and it's coming back out now. Why? Because the cover's being ripped off. That cover's being ripped off of that sucker right now in the court of law, as we see going on what's going on. And so we'll put up the New York Post article, and we'll talk about it, but it has to do with a man who shot up one of Trump's, I believe it was, hotels. Okay, there it is. Trump Club shooter who claimed he was Diddy's, you can see what that is, slave, was hired by music mogul Cassie, testifies. Okay, so this gentleman, this man, who is very broken, ended up in 2018, I believe, shooting up a Trump hotel. There it is. He was busted in 2018 after he was caught on camera carrying an American flag and raving about President Trump as he barged into the lobby of his golf resort. So this is coming out now in the middle of all of this. And this is a very good example of fragmentation, of somebody whose soul has been purposely fragmented to carry out without a conscience the acts, the kingdom of darkness, and the hits that they want to send out against people, against leaders, against the sons and daughters of God. So people who are programmed like this and controlled can get sloppy. And this is what happened here. They can get sloppy because fragmenting is completely unstable. You're taking something whole and you're smashing it into pieces. And that's not stable. And then they start to, let's say, because they're so unstable, malfunction in their programming. They begin to malfunction because there is no clear, whole, righteous foundation in which their being is existing upon. And then they start to become a liability. And many times, if they don't repent before the Lord, you see their platforms, their empires, their persons completely crumble because they start to self-destruct. Fragmenting leads to self-destruction. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, the Lord, have come to give you life and life more abundant. It's a ticking time bomb is what it is. And it's just a matter of when the time bomb goes off. And basically, this gentleman is an example of that, of somebody that was used through fragmenting of the soul, through sex and other means to completely fragment who he was and break him as a person and break his spirit, fragment the soul, fragment the mind to be able to do heinous, heinous things. And this is at the crux of this entire trial, what's coming out here, because I doubt most of the jury understands what is at the root of this, spiritually speaking, and why this happens, and that this is very intentional for the kingdom of darkness, dark orders. This is very intentional for them to do. It is a very intentional process that they do when it comes to this. And this is why President Trump has to be so careful who he makes agreements with and the terms of those agreements. Because the kingdom of darkness is looking for a door that opens to be able to physically attack. This is why it is on high alert with this, to be so careful. There's a reason this is all coming out now. There's a reason you all see this coming out in court now. There's a reason it's coming out between Passover and Pentecost. This is being exposed. And I will tell you, intellectualism will do nothing to combat this. And in fact, the kingdom of darkness utilizes such to create spiritual atheists who may be able to quote a lot, who might know a lot of facts, who might be even able to quote scripture, but have divorced themselves from the power and authority and operating in the spirit of God and operating in the supernatural. And they use their intellectualism to attempt to rationalize spiritual things or believe that intellectualism has any power and authority to combat dark powers, which it does not. Demons can dismantle intellectualism quite easily. In fact, they use intellectualism as a prison. Demons will get people caught in a prison of trying to over-intellectualize God, who you cannot over-intellectualize because he is so far out of our realm. You cannot over-intellectualize something that is infinite, omniscient, omnipotent, all-wise, all-powerful, holy, righteous. And what the enemy does is he puts people in a mental prison by trying to get them to over-intellectualize God and reduce him to something that to them is not very powerful. And in many ways, demons are intellectuals. They have whole divisions and ranks for this, and technology. They have whole divisions and ranks that deal with this. Some of our technology, even in the United States government, came from demonic forces that found willing hosts to push it into the earth. Music industry, Hollywood, television. Look at what they use for television. Television, channel, programming. Just look at the words they use. It will tell you what their motive is. In fact, Project Stargate was created in the United States by, I believe it was the CIA, in the late 1960s to combat the Russians' remote viewing program that they use mediums and psychics to astral project out of their bodies to try to steal secrets. And those that were part of the United States intelligence system at that time thought it would be a good idea to launch Project Stargate and take people from the occult in these orders and use them to try to operate at a level of intelligence, at a level of military that the kingdom of darkness had a very serious interest in. So there are whole ranks and divisions for this. Whole ranks and divisions. You can look this up when I'm telling you about Project Stargate. You can find this. Ephesians 6, 11 through 13. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes, strategies, and deceits of the devil. What does the armor help us to stand up against? The schemes, the strategies, and the deceits of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. They use flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is the weapon of their choice. But our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on the complete armor of God so that you will be able to resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger, and having done everything, to stand firm. That is our marching orders. You can't go into battle without your armor. What Satan does through trauma and fragmenting and programming is he strips people of armor. He strips them of any armor they could have, of any spiritual covering they could have, and he replaces it with a very corroded, perverted covering that is completely cloaked in darkness. Now, I'm going to read to you some words from the Lord having to do with this, because I think it's worth reading. The first one goes back to 2017. So this is 8 years old, this word. January 30th, 2017. Hollywood and other areas of California, as well as leaders in New York, are going to sorely regret shaking their fists and openly challenging the will and sovereignty of Almighty God. Satan's little trophies have run their mouths, and it will be right into the gutter. Watch these two areas, California and New York. Hollywood is about to be doled out very heavy consequences for their little cult and for influencing the minds of the next generation. The Lord thy God has had enough. Satan's pulpit will be silenced, says the Lord, for many have attempted to challenge, and now I meet that challenge, says the Lord of hosts, to you this day. For these mere men and women will not stand in the way of my plans, says the Lord. They are injecting anarchy and deviance into the minds of the young and vulnerable, says the Lord. This is going to stop, says the Lord, for I'm making Hollywood a heifer and a laughing stock, says the Lord. This is 8 years ago, and it says very, very strong words here. And it also says Hollywood will be put in their place, for they shall not touch who I have ordained. They shall not touch who I have ordained, and they shall no longer mock my people without heavy consequences, says the Lord. You're seeing this 8-year-old prophecy play out right now. You're seeing it play out right now. This was given 8 years ago, praise the Lord. So this was actually given a year before that 2018 incident where that man walked in and shot up inside Trump's golf resort. It happened 3 years before P. Diddy got on camera in 2020 and said white men like Trump need to be banished. Let me tell you something about the word banished. It's a word that the kingdom of darkness likes to use, and I'll tell you why. I'm going to tell you a little story very fast of how something similar happened to me. And it was in 2020. We had gone up to Wyndham, New York, and we were staying at a bed and breakfast. And I was awoken during the night near 2 a.m., and I believe it was by the Lord. And I could hear coyotes outside. So I hear the coyotes, and all of a sudden, I hear snarling outside my window. Snarling. Someone talking, making absolutely no sense. And I am looking at Chris, and he's not waking up. And I'm hearing this, but he's not waking up. And I go to the window, and I'm listening. And I hear this entity start to say, I banish you. I banish you. And he's snarling, and his words aren't making sense. And he keeps trying to banish, I guess it was me and Chris, trying to banish us. So now I'm getting mad. Now I throw on my robe, and now I'm going to go marching outside. Now I'm upset. And I go to put my hand on the door, and the Lord says to me firmly, you stay in your room. You stay in your room, and you pray. What was happening is there was angelic protection outside of that bed and breakfast, and that entity could not get in. So it was trying to yell from outside in the parking lot. It was trying to yell. And so had I gone outside that, I would have gone outside the protection that was there. But the word that was used is I banish you, because they actually think they have the power to banish one who is anointed and who is in covenant with Almighty God. So that's why when I heard that word banish, it was a signal to me that the spirit was talking. This was the spirit, because they are so haughty and so prideful and so arrogant and so tormented and so angry that all they want to do is banish man. Now, why? I'm going to tell you this briefly, and this is how I could place it to you. There's a scripture that says, what is man that you are mindful of him, right? I'm going to pull this scripture up, because this is the whole crux of the matter here. So I'm going to pull it up. What is man that you are mindful? Okay, I'm going to pull it up. Okay, we'll do New King James Version. Okay, Psalm 8, 4 through 8. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Okay, what is man that you're mindful of him? You've made him a little lower than the angels. Man is made a little lower than the spirit realm. We are made a little lower than angels, right? And as well, right? Demons, right? In the hierarchy, we're made a little lower than all of that, right? And so the problem with that for the kingdom of darkness is that we are considered lower than them on the hierarchy. Yet because we're sons and daughters of God in covenant with God through Christ Jesus, we have authority over them. It would be like if you had a CEO and then you had somebody that came in at an entry-level position, and the board gave the person at the entry-level position authority over the CEO. That CEO would be so incensed and so resentful and so rageful at that person, because here they are on the hierarchy, they're higher, yet that person who's lower has been given authority over them. And that is what's going on with us. We have been given authority over the kingdom of darkness, over, you know, over powers through Christ Jesus. We've been given this authority. This has been granted through us through a relationship with God through Christ Jesus. We have been given power and authority. Behold, I have given unto you the power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, against all the power of the enemy, so nothing shall by any means hurt you. What did he say? All the power of the enemy, not some of the power, not part of the power, not some of the kingdom of darkness, all the power of the enemy. So we are made a little lower, yet we have authority over all the power of the enemy. And that's why they hate us. That is why they want to destroy man. Not only are we made in the image of God, but they consider us lower than them, yet we have authority over them through Christ Jesus, and they have to submit. Imagine the rage that causes, because they think they're in a loftier position. And that is the crux, one of the cruxes of the war going on between man and the kingdom of darkness. So I just wanted to explain that for a minute. Now, let's go back to the word. Okay, April 28th, 2023. I am stretching families, says the Lord. I am stretching families with very recognizable names. Their faith must be stretched to be redeemed. I have allowed certain exits, says the Lord, and certain oustings for those with a voice, in order to allow the babbles to teeter and fall. And babble they do, in order to allow the towers of media and influence to lean and to tip and to fall. And then it says, one media entity shall file for complete bankruptcy and be sold, and who shall take it shall send tremors through the media, says the Lord. It shall cause shakedowns across the media as heads scramble in anxiousness and fear, because the entire tide, this is capitals, is beginning to turn, and high tide is coming in to disintegrate the sandcastles they have built, says the Lord. And that was April 28th, 2023. September 24th, 2024. Thus says the Lord, the truth of those who took their own lives within music and media, the truth is about to come forth of what they were threatened with and the perverse acts they did to make a name for themselves. This shall be uncovered and exposed, as you shall see a very large exodus off the ship they have sailed upon and laughed upon their exploits. The truth of the twitches, switches, indulgences, and dainties shall come to the surface, for a Z and their chain of horror shall come forth. And then January 16th, 2025. And I am with my people in California. So let's say I'm with my people in California. However, the appointed time has come for the leadership and the swamp and cesspool of Hollywood to be judged and put under pressure to buckle and break the layers of corruption and deception that have been built for decades. California is in their 40th governor, and the time has come for such, because California, just as in Genesis, is filled with Hamas. It is filled with violence, says the Lord. It has gone the way of Cain, the way of Sodom. And now a great purge has begun in the nation, as desperation has mounted with those who are wicked and corrupt. Desperation has mounted to create capital emergencies, to create capital chaos, to create capital destruction, to create capital crashes, says the Lord, which have already been discussed with your Federal Reserve, says the Lord. This is why you're seeing it. It's the appointed time for it to be judged. And this is coming out in media in other ways. This exposure of the hierarchy of the kingdom of darkness, this exposure of what the enemy wants to stay secret, it's coming out all over the media. Let me show you the cover of the New York Post today. Let me just show you this. Diablo may care. Oh, the devil may care. That is one of the biggest bunches of, you know what, the devil, or the devils and the kingdom of darkness and Satan himself want to sell humanity. that he cares. He only cares about himself. He is a narcissist through and through, an apex predator, a certifiable nut. Okay, that is what he is. He doesn't care. And so this is from New York City. This is happening. This migrant, apparently, because of our mayor and governor of New York, is apparently undeportable, and he keeps terrorizing the city, and he keeps terrorizing people in the city, and he's in the little devil's gang. What he don't get is Kingdom of Darkness has total control of him, and they can dispose of him when they want. That's the other thing. When people become fragmented like this young man and sell out, the Kingdom of Darkness then can dispose of you when they want. You are a means to their end. You are just an asset for them to perform their heinous exploits and then dispose of you like a piece of trash. So you're seeing this all come out right now in the media because it's the time of exposure of this. And it's coming out when? Between Passover and Pentecost. Judgment and deliverance. And then you've got the fire of the Holy Spirit, that truth, that fiery truth coming down. And it's about time the church understands that this is real, that this is very dark, and that the church needs to learn how to operate in the full power and authority we've been given through Christ Jesus. Against it. It's about time the church stops ignoring that this is going on and how sophisticated and mobilized the Kingdom of Darkness is. And this is how they use humanity. It's about time the church starts understanding what may make them uncomfortable, but is going to make them much more formidable warriors and opponents in this time in the soldiers of the armies of the living God. We cannot be the army of Saul quaking at Goliath as the principality is speaking through him, and all of them are quaking in the corner because nobody understands the hierarchy of the Kingdom of Darkness and how covenant operates. You had a little shepherd boy, David, who understood more than Saul and his army combined because David was walking in the Spirit. They were quaking in the flesh. The church cannot be quaking in the flesh at these things. It has to face this head on. We have to grow in this. God's got to take us deeper to go higher right now. And when you go higher and you ascend, there is pressure. You have to learn to breathe a different type of air. You have to learn how to process it. You have to learn how to become mature in your mind to deal with it. Have you ever read the Bible? Do you see the heinous things that go on in it? Have you ever read it? Because there are some heinous things that go on in the Word of God that people don't want to touch, but it's in there for a reason. God is trying to give us a cross-section of how the Kingdom of Darkness is operating because he's trying to get the church to come to a higher level to crush it. This is why we have to operate in these things. This is why I'm talking about these things. You know why? Because praise God that God has allowed me to deal in deliverance. You know what one of the first ones were that God had me do? Homosexuality, which is one of the harder ones to cast out. And the Lord threw me in the deep end and he said, now swim, because I know you can. The Lord's not going to do that to you unless he knows you can. But he threw me in the deep end and he said, you want to go deeper? Swim. And I did. And praise the Lord for it. I will tell you, when I was at, and I'm not going to say names or anything, but when I was at Engage Ministries this past weekend, after I preached, we prayed for people for hours. And we had quite a bit of deliverance going on. We had people throwing up. We had people throwing up from what was coming out of them, first of all. But secondly, I had a young man at the end that he must have been in his mid-20s. And when he came up to me, I could feel it on him. And I could feel what was on him. And so he told me what he's been going through. I said, what happened before you went through all this? He goes, well, I sold drugs. I did drugs. He's clean now. And I said, listen, you're going to renounce first. Now, I do this on the leading of the Lord, how the Lord has me approach it. But I said, you need to renounce this, because I knew he had open doors. He had open spiritual doors that had to be shut before I cast these filthy demons out. Otherwise, it would come right back. So I made him renounce. And when I did, and I touched him, and all I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke, he with force hit the ground. He not only with force hit the ground, he started shaking violently, his face turned red, and he let out such a guttural scream that our team got on the ground with me because they wanted to make sure he wasn't going to sit up and take a swing, because what was coming out of him had so much spiritual access, had so much control that it violently came out of him. Now, there's scriptural basis for this. When people were thrown on the ground, thrashing, there is scriptural basis for this, but this is what went on. And this is the power and authority God has given the church that most of the church has refused to take hold of and operate in. They have brushed this to the side, and it has allowed the enemy to have a field day. And this is enough of this. It is enough of this. We have power and authority given to us through Christ Jesus. They have to submit. They have to go. You see, you have to approach it from that point. We have been given dominion through Christ Jesus. Man gave their dominion away foolishly at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, hearkening unto the voice of the serpent, and Jesus Christ came and died and shed his blood so we could get it back. And we're making a mockery of his death when we do not fully operate in it. He shouldn't die in vain, and he never will. But I'm saying we make a mockery. He made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation. He gave us that marching order at the cross. He descended into the underworld. He took the disease of death. He defeated hell, death, and the grave. He preached down there before he rose again. We have our marching orders. And we have to, in this time as the church, over the next 4 years, run with it. We have to run and contend at a higher level, because look at what's coming out, the depths of darkness. It is publicly coming out now in a court of law as a spectacle for all to see. God's given the church a window. I suggest we take it. I suggest we take it. That's where I'm going to end for tonight. I could keep going because I could feel the presence of the Lord. I could feel the fire of God. I could keep going on this, but we'll do a part two. We will do a part two on this. So let me just bring it down, because I'll probably be on fire the rest of the night, kind of, as we wind this up. So now that we've talked about very heavy things, let's end on something that's going to make you laugh for a moment and show you that the craziness, in a funny way, of my life, that it goes from dealing with things like this to dealing with my dogs making a Times Square on New Year's Eve in my foyer. So we're going to play this video for you of what Missy and Cyrus did to me last night after the broadcast. And we'll talk afterwards. So our team is just loading. Cyrus and Missy, why does my foyer look like Times Square New Year's Eve? Missy, come here. Toby's like, I had no part of this, Mom. No, you're not bringing me a gift now. Oh, no. You have just exploded this. Oh, Missy, I know it's you. You're the perpetrator, and you have the pillow. Missy, you better come here. She's hiding. Where is the pillow? I know you did this. What is this? What is this? What is all of this? What did you do? Show Mommy what you did. Where is it? Where is it? Where's the purse? She's like, right here, Mom. Look, I busted open your dress pillow. Oh, can I just see this? Look at this. Missy. Oh boy, here they go again. They're like, come on, Mom. It's Happy New Year early. Oh boy. I'm going to have to clean this up now. Yep.
We've had an explosion here of pillow innards at the Ark. Toby's like, Mom, I promise you I didn't do it.
Yeah. Let me just explain to you what my wonderful husband did in the middle of all this. He heard me yell and go, what did you guys do? He comes walking out. He takes a look at Times Square on New Year's Eve, and he walks right back into the TV room to go eat a salad. And he left me, his wife, to deal with the mess that the two kids made. And then he said, I did my part. I threw the pillow out. So he actually looked at me with a straight face and said, I did my part, Manna. I threw the pillow out. And then he went right back to his salad again. And you should all see my face when things like that go on. And Chris and the animals do stuff like this. The Italian, it's all over my face. It is all my, how I feel is all over my face. And so that went on last night. I will also tell you this. I will give you a few things before I talk about these couple other things to pray before we exit. First of all, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, any demonic altars bearing my name, the name of my children, the name of my business, the name of my home, I command in the name of Jesus Christ, are dismantled and destroyed by the fire of God to not be rebuilt in Jesus' name. That is one thing you can do. Psalm 91 is another thing I want you to do as well. Put on the full armor of God. Put it on. Speak it. Go to Ephesians 6. Do that. Also, what I always say from the Believer's Authority in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3, say those scriptures. You want for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant me according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That's our soul. That's our spirit. That Christ may dwell in my heart by faith, that I, being rooted and grounded in love, you have to fight from a position of love and righteousness, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that I might be filled with all the fullness of God. You want all the fullness of God filling you. You don't want someone else filling you. Okay, so I'm giving you a few of that. When we do part two, we'll go more into this right now, but I'm just giving you a few things you can do. You can also, in the name of Jesus Christ, rebuke every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, hindrance, interference, violence, slander, intimidation, bullying, threat. That the enemy, satanic agents, dark forces, unclean spirits, and willing hosts of the enemy would attempt against my person, my family, my home, my pets, everything under my stewardship, that they would attempt to steal, kill, destroy, or harm. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, be dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, dismantled, rendered powerless, and their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans, and it cast out to areas God has designated for such to not return or have anything sent in its place in the name of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give you those few things tonight as well. Just a reminder, we have our Animal Sanctuary page on Facebook, Ark of Grace Sanctuary. We have a TikTok page for Ark of Grace Sanctuary now. So please search Ark of Grace Sanctuary. You can subscribe to our TikTok page. We are posting videos like this that I just showed you of what goes on with us and the animals here. So there is our TikTok. There's our TikTok on Ark of Grace Sanctuary. We just started that. So you can subscribe to that. We have Ark of Grace Sanctuary on Facebook as well. So there you go. We actually posted the journey of the two pigs, Gibson and Cleo. So you can go watch that as well. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. And two things at the end here. We're going to put up my pillow first. because we love Mike Lindell. We want to be a blessing to him. There's Duchess in her shades for summer. There's summer savings going on. You use promo code ARC. You can save up to 80% right now off of MyPillow products. They have slides. They have pillows. They have blankets. They have beach towels. They have robes. They are so much more than just pillows. So you could go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ARC today. We also have Rafa, which means healer in Hebrew. This is what me and Dr. Sherwood came up to with together. This is Rafa for women. It's a supplement to support the system of women and things that women tend to go through as we tend to age. And so Rafa actually helps. We have it listed here and helps mitigate in ways what we go through as women. It's an amazing all natural supplement. And Dr. Sherwood is our partner in this. So you can go to arcofgrace.org/ministry partners if you would like to try Rafa today. Praise the Lord. Okay, that's where I'm going to end for tonight. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Keep the faith. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. We also have other psalms that we will put up on the screen. We have Psalm 23. We have Psalm 35. We have Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. That's something good for you to say all the time, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that is something else that is great for you to incorporate into your walk, into your prayer walk, into your relationship with the Lord. Also, Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19. Those are the two chapters and scriptures I was talking about that I say every single day. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, as well as the Lord's Prayer, because that prayer came directly from heaven. That was given directly from heaven for Jesus Christ to teach his disciples. It is the order of that prayer that helps us stay in an order with the Lord, stay in a walk with the Lord where we're submitting to his will first, where his will becomes our priority over what we may want. And so we just encourage you in that as well. We will be back on next week. We'll be putting out shorts as well. We put out two shorts today. You can go check out, and we hope you have a wonderful rest of your evening, a wonderful weekend. We will be back on next week. We'll be doing probably more of a deep dive with this. I'll be seeking the Lord as well, and we look forward to seeing you then. Have a wonderful evening. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. So, as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together, and we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rafa for women. Rafa means healer in Hebrew. So it is an ode to the Lord, because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rafa is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural. And I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rafa today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, Go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today. And Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs in our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK. Hey everybody, Amanda Grace here. Many of you have been curious and have asked about what skincare products I use. In fact, we have had many emails come in about this, so I am happy to be able to now share this with you. This is Givaderm. It is all natural. It is food for your face. Wonderful skincare line owned and operated by believers. I love that these products are nourishing. They are free of chemicals and they are safe for not only me, but also the animals. And as you know, we have many of them running around here at the Ark. So I don't have to worry if any of them were to accidentally get into them. What goes on our skin goes into our bodies. So it's important to put on our skin what nourishes and heals. Kind of like what we should put in our soul, what nourishes and heals it, which is the word. Our bodies are temples. We have to be careful what we put on them and in them. My favorite products are Uplift and the eye cream, which I have right here. However, I use their entire line. It is amazing and it is very effective. So if you'd like to learn more or contact Givaderm, go to arkofgrace.org/ministry-partners and you can use promo code ARK10 for a 10% discount.